Can you share some insights on the potential income pharmacists can generate through your Heal platform?
Yeah. So as a pharmacist, as a community pharmacist, you're looking at...
The minute the GPHC found out, GPHC took them on and said, no, you can't do this.
I think that's where 8 pharmacists out of 10 would fail.
As you know, there's lots of hype around what Heal is doing, platform that you provide, the safety and the earning potential that the pharmacists can get using the platform. So I want to reach out to you to see what you guys are doing, how Heal helps pharmacists. If you could just start with telling our listeners what Heal is and what you guys have been up to lately.
Heal was started on a premise of bringing a lot of 15,000 IPs to get some kind of shift into doing private work. That was always the aim of Heal. And to do that, they had to make that kind of switch. They had to figure out how to go ahead and do it, because one of the core challenges for them was not having, let's say, a pharmacy of their own, or they were working within a pharmacy where they could not use a system and they did not know how to go to a doctor when they need one. So we take kind of one-to-one example, something like Pharmacy First. If they have an issue, how do they go to a GP? It's not physically possible. We wanted to address those sort of challenges in private services on day one. So when we were building Heal, we took care of all these things. And ultimately, our aim was that they would benefit from it, which means they would have their own passive income, which would eventually become their active income through the platform itself. So it started that way. Now, as of today, we actually have 3 specific areas in Heal. One is called the hub side, which is physical. Premises is where we set up all the private GPs, aesthetics, and multiple other services, where we also give access to all the IPs who are with us to come and work in there. And they can work on a daily basis, hourly basis, consultant basis, multiple other formats. We can approach that. And second is the more important part, which is what every IP should use, which is the clinical management system. Now, that's the crux of everything we do today. So I think that's an important part. So if there is any IP using it today, they must get access to a system. And I'm not just saying just Heal, but any clinical management system, which is approved by the NHS and approved by all the standards in the UK, Data Protection Act, GDPR, and their clinical management system per se. So they're not just any system. So there are just too many online recording systems. They're not clinical management system. So do look into that. It has to be a clinical management system.
Is that a requirement by GPHC, CQC?
That's a good question. So I think that's become a requirement now. I think what has happened is, in some way, shape, or form, the issues around one particular private service, which has really blown out of proportions, like weight loss, right? The amount of weight loss that was been sold online and the amount of prescribing that goes after it has been happening at such a scale that a lot of POMs have been prescribed without a good track record of actually, is that individual even exist? Or is there some kind of responsibility on the healthcare professional to check on that individual? So patient care and patient safety. Now, the GPHC and the CQC are very active now on that. They're saying we need evidence-based. And the way they measure evidence is that, is it on a clinical management system? If it is not, then we would pretty much look into all kind of measures, including suspension, which is the most used measure from GPHC.
So you can't really document you're not in a notebook or like a Word document and save it.
We've seen now a couple of people who have been using paper-based methods. So they use a paper-based PGD, for example. It's a very good example there, where they would document also on paper-based. And the inspectors have come round now, and what they've been saying to the actual pharmacists are, look, if you're using paper-based, these can be edited at any time. They can be changed according to what you may want to put in there. That's not what we want. We don't mind changes, but they need to be audited. They need to be tracked. Mm-hmm. So actually guidance and guidelines is more turning towards digital anyway, mm-hmm. so that you can track these changes. You can see if anything's been added. You can say, let's look down the whole chain assessments here and see what's been added, what's not been added, and who's done it.
With timestamps.
Exactly. Yeah. The whole point in our software is that you can do that. You can see who's been making changes and when. And the assessment itself, we just see that pharmacists don't make massive assessment notes at the moment. It's prevalent throughout the industry as naturally as you go from analog to digital, everyone would be changing. But you've got to produce comprehensive notes. So things like weight loss are really important, because you've got to be able to communicate now with the GP what's been done. and they would expect a certain level of information, likewise, vice versa. So I think now what we're seeing is IPs coming in, doing really comprehensive notes, needing a facility to do that. And the software that we have allows them to do so. You've got full dictation ability. You've even got a different type of assessment in SOAP notes that you can do. So it's really about trying to provide support to every pharmacist in the right way of working and how guidelines are shifting, because it's not written down anywhere saying you must use digital. They can't do that because they'd have a problem straight away overnight. But you can see where the guidance is going clearly.
Now, you mentioned there were three things to your platform. One was the physical hub model. The other one was the digital clinical management system.
Third is onward training side. So every IP that comes with us, we provide them very specific area training. So any area they are going to work in. So private services wise, be it weight loss, menopause, hair loss, testosterone, aesthetics. In all areas, we provide training. So purely because our approach to that has been, if you are trained with us, one, you can work with us in one of our hubs, or you can work on your own using the Heal OS. So in either format, we are helping you be independent and stand on your own. You'd be able to earn. We would definitely support you in that journey that you are guaranteed to make good income once you've taken training with us as well.
Yeah, so from what I gathered, if you become an IP, let's say newly qualified prescribing clinician, they've done the specialization in, let's say, hypertension. They could come to you, get the right training, get into your platform, and start prescribing. How does that work? What's the journey look like?
Absolutely great question. So I think once they join, the way the Heal OS system works is pretty simple. First of all, when they get access to it, there is a rigorous process for us to allow them access to the platform as well. And that includes be capturing a lot of information about them, which is a pure GPHC numbers, their addresses, all the limited company numbers, so on and so forth. And then we see if they are attached to a pharmacy or they're operating independently. In either scenario, we would capture their insurance details. The reason being, any IP that is using our platform has two choices, which is work for their own, which means bring their own patient and use as prescribing platform, or serve Heal's patient, because Heal has obviously got massive network of 1,300 pharmacies nationwide, which is our reach. And through that, we have a lot of customers coming in. When they come in, they also need prescribing, remote prescribing. And we are able to provide that service through these people who are working with us. Any healer or anybody who is using the Heal OS platform has that opportunity to one on board, provide their insurance, provide full guarantee of what they're doing. And we do background checks on them. And once they have that, they're fully capable of accessing that. When it comes to training, training is like we assess their need for training as well in specific areas. So majority of them, simply put, I'm going to always talk about weight loss because it's so popular. They just come in and say, oh, we know everything about weight loss. The reality is not true because weight loss is also a dynamically changing market. The amount of changes that come from the manufacturers also needs to be understood on a regular basis. So for us, we also have a community management platform where they can also share this information, and we actually upload a lot of information on that as well, so they can see that as well. So there is multi-format here, if that helps understand that.
Yeah, okay. So they can start working for Heal and see Heal patients, so to say, that you partner up with the pharmacists who have patients already. They just need clinicians to do the work. And then they can also set up their own clinic within Heal and then start pushing that. Would that be like their own website? How does that work?
And that's a great question. So they can do it both. They can do it for the majority of them who are working with us today, freelancing in their own sense. So we help them do multiple other things. So we help them with their marketing itself. So we help them saying how to go out to market. We help them set up website. We help them set up lead generation. But they have to be active socially. So they are active on the social media platforms, community building, bringing patients themselves. Even if they are low-coming, they are bringing patients. And they can see the patient in both formats. So they can use the telehealth facility on the platform, or they can see them one-to-one. When it's all digitally recorded, and once they're ready, they can prescribe.
I see. Okay. That's quite interesting. So they could start with one side and then gradually grow their own clinic. So when the pharmacist is running their own clinic, let's say they set up a weight loss clinic, do they have to have a pharmacy with that? Or can they just independently generate run clinics?
Yeah, you can run it. obviously the advantage is if you are a pharma, especially an IP, because you can use your own prescriptions. But yeah, you could run independently and use our services to do the prescription part. So essentially what you're doing is you've got a front end, which is bringing in patients. Mm-hmm. You want to serve the patients, but you don't have a license to serve the patients. You can outsource the patients to our licensed practitioners in order to generate the prescriptions and do the back end dispensing. That's very easy as well. But obviously from a IP point of view, it's best to be a platform user and start to develop your skills in order to start doing the treatment we can qualify you for, right? So like menopause is one. There's another one that's quite controversial, is ADHD. We have to do that differently. And pharmacists have to ask themselves about liability costs, the risk of doing mental health assessments. It can be done according to NICE guidelines, but it just depends on whether you as a pharmacist want to accept that. We, at the moment, on our patients, we go through a doctor pathway just to be safe, and liability is kept down as well. Things like dermatology we look at, because that's where you can really extend an IP's pathway. Things like hair loss, these are things that IP should consider, right? Outside of your classic competencies like hypertension and diabetes. Dermatology and hair loss offer a real revenue stream in terms of not just being able to treat the patient, but the medicines allied are all highly, I'm going to say, they have high revenue, high margins, and you get regular subscriptions from the patient as well. Whereas hypertension and diabetes might just be one-off assessments and stuff like that. What we want to do is make sure that there's a regular income stream coming in.
As a prescribing clinician starting up, I think my anxiety would be, what if I had a patient that is too complex for me?
Yeah, so the big advantage of Heal is that there's a triaging facility there. So if you weren't an IP, for example, the classic scenario in our case is that pharmacists use us when they have stuff that's out of their scope. So a typical example there would be, I'm a pharmacist, I'm using a PGD in order to serve the patient. Patients come in, but they've got an exclusion there. Now, that exclusion could be something as minor as saying, for example, on our weight loss PGD right now, the minimum BMI to serve someone on Mounjaro, for example, is 27. But the patient may have a comorbidity, right? And the pharmacist may not be comfortable prescribing based on that comorbidity. They may say, okay, I need some help here. Either the patient goes or I can triage them. And that's what we offer them. You can triage within the system very easily. Our practitioners would come on and they would have the scope and the range in order to serve the patient. So what happens now is you've suddenly, as an IP or as a pharmacist, you've got a clinic which is fully comprehensive. You can see many patients, you can treat many patients, and you have practitioner backup on all aspects of it. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to do it. Even we go up to private GPs as well. Say someone walks in and it's completely out of your scope, or they just want to see a doctor, right? It happens. The public don't know what pharmacists can do. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. And that's part of the problem in launching a clinic as a pharmacist. How does the public know what you do? So it's going to be a process. It has to go along that process. And I think the more services you offer, the more you promote yourself, and the more you say, we use the terminology in doctor-led, we have private GP backup, that all helps to be a clinician. It's not denigrating anything you're doing, but at the same time, it's giving you powerful backup to serve the patient. That's what the patient's looking for.
That's reassuring. That gives me confidence to see any patient. And if it's outside my scope, above my competency level, then I can just say, okay, I'm going to refer you to my senior.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why we look at it.
Right. And it's vice versa as well. So once they record these systems, the benefit of Heal is, even if they triage the patients over, because the patient is still in the first line contact of that patient, will always remember that IP. So that IP will have that one-to-one touch with them. While the doctor is remote, the doctor can also communicate directly through the platform to the IP, or just call them up as well and have a chat with them saying, hey, I've seen your patient. Here is the situation. Here is what we believe should be happening. So it's much more better. So we would be that, I think pre-2020, big hype on just completely remote. And we've completely moved away from that. And we've said hybrid is the right way, because patient care cannot just be completely remote. Yes, maybe in some scenario it's possible until it's physically needed, saying that's fine. But a hybrid where there is a touch point, and that IP is that touch point.
So I guess once they have a plan in place, then that IP can continue with the kind of looking after the patient long term. Okay.
I think what you got to do is, I think, because your customers are primarily clinical pharmacists, right?
Yeah.
So I think we come across a lot of clinical pharmacists. And I think every single clinical pharmacist has to question what they want to do out of a clinic. Because a clinical pharmacist uses us, right? Anyone who makes notes, assessments, and everything like that, they'll invariably use a system like ours, or someone else's, competitors maybe, but they'll like our system anyway. So there's something for them to use within HealOS. But when it comes to setting up a clinic, you really have to think about what is a good profit generator, what is long-term sustainable patient income, and then really drive and think about what happens in the marketing side. I think that's where 8 pharmacists out of 10 would fail. I think there has to be a focus there in thinking, I'm doing the treatment. This is going to earn a lot, decent enough money for me to do this as a, say, side business or a full-time business. But how am I going to get my patients in? And I think that's what happens. Invariably, you get caught up in doing the competency. You'll be good at it. You can get patients in. You can see them. But how are you actually going to get more? And we see that all the time, people doing a skill set before the actual thinking about how the patient's going to walk in. And it's such a big problem that I would say every clinical pharmacist or pharmacist have to think about that before they launch a service. It's where it fails the first time. That's why.
If you don't have customers, then you don't have a business.
Exactly. And likewise with the treatment, if you enter into the wrong treatment area, or you start advertising something that's just not popular, it's just not going to work. Or something that is popular ends up swamping you, but your profit's not that high. You don't feel encouraged to do more. There are few areas out there that we cover that I would say is perfect for it. You can have a deep passion into it. You can start doing a lot of work behind it, and it would work because there's a big patient pool for you to have.
Can you share some insights on the potential income pharmacists can generate through Heal platform?
Yeah. So as a pharmacist, as a community pharmacist, you're looking at least £10,000 plus a month. Now, that's where you go back to what we say about marketing. If you're not doing the marketing, you will fall flat. And we've learned a lot along our journey. We've had many people sign up to the platform. They're the first celebrating, thinking, yeah, great. Got pharmacists onto the platform. Not going to be an issue. We've got more and more. What we're noticing, what would happen is that every time pharmacists would join, they'd have the passion, belief, the will to do a different service, to go into private and say, this is happening, we've got to upskill ourselves. Great. It would, invariably, so many people fell flat on the marketing, we had to then stop and think about, how can we help them now? Because all that happens is you start thinking, I'm going to get that patient in, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a website, I'm going to do my SEO, and we'll bring the patient in that way. But that's what everyone else is doing. You got to think about it differently. You got to say, look at what my demographic is, how they targeted, and how can I be different from the competition in order to make sure that I don't fall by the wayside. So marketing is such a big skill set that it has to go hand in hand with everything you're doing. But it's a big issue there. But I would say when you get it right, numbers are fantastic. And we see that in aesthetics clinics. So upskilling yourself to be a practitioner is fantastic. When we've launched our training, we've had so many people now sign up for our training, and we get them onto the foundation. Then later on, we train them onto the advanced techniques. They'll be making at least £10,000 a month, right? It's not straight away, but it will be, say, after I think about what we predict is month 11. Now that's what your revenue is, right? Yeah. Profits are still high because your margins are so low. You can fit it within your business, especially if you've got a pharmacy already. So it's not like you're adding cost to there. Yes, there is a cost of training, but I think the upside is fantastic if you get it right. Now, alongside there, the beauty of that is if you have your own space as well, you can start offering other treatments as well. Like weight loss is an obvious one. It goes hand in hand with aesthetics. Likewise, dermatology, where the margins there are very high as well. So all these things have to be thought about. Once you have a patient stream, once you have a database, how do you start marketing the same database? What fits in? And that's exactly what we have at Heal. At Heal, every customer we have in terms of a pharmacy is offered the chance to open a health hub. what they do then is they think about their space, quality of the space, the patient pool, how can they service the patients better? Will a health hub work in the area? Invariably, everyone has the same conclusion saying, yes, it would work because you're becoming more clinical. We coach pharmacies saying, where's the word clinic in your title? Still going around as a pharmacist. You know, what's the public opinion of a pharmacist in their eyes? What does a patient think of when they come into your pharmacy? Do they think, you are my number one healthcare professional and I'll come to you for advice only? Or do they think, here's my prescription to all my meds? 9 times out of 10, it's, here's my prescription to all my meds, see you later, bye. We want to change that relationship. They've got to be informed that pharmacists can do more, that there's a high level of knowledge and skill that pharmacists can do. So it's a journey, but there is a lot of money that can be earned per month if it's executed properly. Absolutely. We see that now in our own examples.
Okay. So the pharmacists who are listening now and who are not prescribers, what advice could you give to the, let's say, community pharmacist who's considering becoming an IP and not sure whether they should it get in a prescriber qualification?
That's a very good question.
Could everything be done through PGDs that are the same?
No, invariably, it makes much more sense if either you're upskilled to an IP or you have someone in your business who is an IP. That's for certain. Going down and staying down the PGD route, I don't think it's going to be valid, you know, much further, unless you're thinking, I need a technician to do everything. But in my view, I think the whole way the NHS are going about things is that technicians, A, they're allowed to do PGDs, but seriously, how many pharmacists are coming out now next year who are going to be IPs? What would the value of a PGD be? This is why in HEAL-OS you get free PGDs, because we don't charge anyone for it. There's no point. We might as well use them in order to enhance your services, but we are not a PGD business because there's so much more beyond there. And we have so many IPs using the system anyway. They will get no value out of the PGD. I think if you're a community pharmacist, you've got to think about, how will I get an IP into my business? And out the treatments that we do, on the pathways that we have, 70 to 80% can be done by an IP, many times 90%. So it's that last 10 to 20 to 30% that needs to be seen by a doctor in terms of our pathways for a patient. So when you look at it that way, and you're a community pharmacist, why wouldn't you have a highly skilled independent prescriber in your business? Doesn't make any sense not to. So I think the question more would be, is it worth it for the clinical pharmacist or the independent prescriber to be in community pharmacy or to work for a pharmacy? That would be an interesting question, because they've got the skills.
What do you think on that? What's your opinion?
I think they've got the skill set to do it by themselves. And I think at the moment, especially if I was an independent prescriber coming out and say newly launched, I'd be working with a 55 to 60 year old pharmacist who's looking to retire soon. I'd be looking to take a partnership in the, and stake in the business and convert it clinical. Mm-hmm. And when I do that, then the upside is fantastic. Things will look up that from that point. We have to be realistic about the contract. The contract is fine. They've given an extra bit of funding, but it's a 3 billion funding on a 5 billion need. Mm-hmm. So let's be realistic. Based on that, there's no funding for 40% of pharmacies. So what's going to happen? A lot will close. So you've got to be strategic about where you want to open. What is your skill set? I personally would go to the ones that have enough space, that are a good value deal once you drive down the figures, and then go clinical fully, maximize the clinical services. There will be education with the public over the next few years about what pharmacies do. There'll be more privatized services. It's going to happen. So I think you're going to see a rapid shift in the market anyway, whereby it's going to be a lot of opportunities for IPs. They should be able to take their opportunity now, make sure they have a stake in the market now.
I think there are a few more factors as well, right? So the technology has advanced so much that the benefit of a conventional pharmacy to turn into much more an automated pharmacy, which releases all the workforce straight away. And we have a great examples, right? We have almost all our partners have robots. And those who've taken that on, they either own multiples or they have at least have footprint, which is geographically in the same area. And they use one location as the hub and spoke. Yeah. That suddenly releases all the other locations. So they are then actively looking for IPs. And that's where they're anybody who is taking a DPP should consider that, saying you should be an IP. If you're not being an IP, you will not be able to really have a long-term career. Mm-hmm. So in the interest of having a good, stable career with a solid income, purely because an NHS outlook, or let's just say Public Health England outlook, was very clear, saying prescribers are there to become much more healthcare professionals. Pre-2019, we have about 16, 18,000 prescribers. 80% of them worked in NHS, not in pharmacy, purely because there is zero room to grow in a pharmacy. The sector itself is consolidating at a faster pace than ever, which is rightly, because obviously it's, if it cannot evolve and there is so much pressure on NHS for it to evolve, obviously they will not be able to sustain. So anybody who is considering a DPP must think, my way to become an IP and be actually having a sustainable income for myself and my career, or even for my business for that matter, is to, let's be an IP. Either I'm serving someone or I'm serving myself, whichever way it is. But it's a guaranteed way to income.
Okay, thank you for the insight. Final question. Are there any upcoming features that you have for Heal in the background that's coming soon?
Yes, so a couple of them. One of them is, obviously, we've already had AI from day one. So we had a script system already in the platform, which allows a lot of time saving. We are currently moving from that and actually taking three steps further. So we are introducing a Heidi like feature. So if anybody is aware of Heidi, we are introducing that right now. In addition to that, we are also introducing some pharmacy first features as well. So we are literally, the whole what you have to do on pharma outcomes can be done on a Heal platform, and it's already copied over straight into pharma outcomes. So you don't need to worry about those things. There is about 2-3 more interesting AI features we are launching. One of them being voice AI. So we are working through that right now, and they are currently already being tested. So as soon as that's ready, we'll be launching that towards the second quarter and third quarter. And that will make a lot easier. What used to be an IP consultation spending 20-30 minutes, now that can be done in under 5 minutes, so 6 minutes, because they spend more time talking to the patient and then just recording notes.
It makes sense. If there's a prescriber who wants to join your platform, where would they find you?
Best way to come to us is go to gethill.co.uk and just go to contact us and reach out to us. If not, drop an email to sales@gethill.co.uk. That would straight away connect you to myself or Rupesh, one of us, and we'll be happy to do it. And more importantly, if they are coming to you, they can come to you and we'll happily provide them special discounts for that. So if they come through you, we'll be happy to support them as well.
Okay, amazing. Thank you very much, Nav and Rupesh. Appreciate you coming over, spending a valuable time and giving us the insight in the industry. I think it's a really good area to focus on now. The private sector is booming. It would be great to try your platform.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.